This morning's sermon is called The True Light from the book of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 13, as we continue our journey through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. As I mentioned last Sunday, that most likely we will be spending the year of 2025 right here in this Gospel, God willing. We are going to go through these 21 chapters very carefully and let God speak to us. Amen? We're going to let God speak to us as we go through this gospel, very detailed gospel. Just a quick recap. The Apostle John wrote this book when he was in his 90s, during the 90s AD. He wrote this gospel 60 years after Jesus had come and gone. The Apostle John was one of Jesus' closest apostles. He is one of the original apostles. The Apostle John was the only apostle that was at Jesus' cross, at the foot of his cross, just before he died. He was there. He was the only apostle. He had a family member that was one of the higher religious leaders, so he let him go to the foot of Jesus' cross. He was crucified at 9 a.m., and he was on the cross until 3 p.m. when he died. And John recorded in his gospel that the last words, the last three words that Jesus said before he took his last breath was, "It is finished." All those who come to Christ, their sin debt has been paid in full. Hallelujah. Paid in full. John, the Apostle John was led by the Holy Spirit to write this gospel along with the three small epistles that he wrote, John 1, 2, and 3, along with the book of Revelation. These are the last five books in the Bible. Goes the gospel of John, three epistles, then Revelation. It's not in chronicle order, as most of you know, but he wrote the last five books in the Bible. This book is a salvation book. This is a heavenly book, a look at our Lord Jesus Christ in a heavenly way. The Apostle John, when he wrote this book in his five books, he writes these books as an eyewitness of Christ. He was with the Lord. He wrote in his first epistle, he said, "That which was from the beginning," he writes, "which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life," Jesus. "The life was manifested," he wrote, "which was shown, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was also shown to us," the apostles. "That which we have seen," he says it again. This is three times in his epistle, in this one chapter. "We have seen and we heard and we declare to you that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." And he writes in verse 4, "In these things we write to you that your joy may be full." Amen. John writes this, he tells his story as an eyewitness of Christ. I mentioned last Sunday that the purpose of the Apostle John writing this gospel is to convince his readers that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, God in the flesh, and by believing in him, you may have eternal life in his name. This is the whole purpose of John writing his gospel. John's message to us, Jesus is the only Lord, he is the only Savior, and without him we cannot be saved. John's gospel message, the eternal God himself has become flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us. The Creator has become part of his creation. And why? So he may save sinners from their sin, death, judgment, and eternal life. eternal hell. Sorry. That he may save us from our sin, death, judgment, and eternal hell. This is why he came. By the time John is done writing this gospel, he wants you and I to know that God is made up of three persons, but one God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They all make up one God, as John told us last Sunday in those five verses. They make up three persons and one God, the triune Godhead. Same deity, same power, same divine nature. They are God. Right? In our passage last Sunday, verses 1 through 5, we took a look at that. And the Apostle John wrote, he says, Jesus is God. He is the second person in the triune Godhead. Jesus, he wrote, is the Word. He is the Word of God. He wrote that Jesus is eternal. He's always existed. Jesus is the source of light. And he wrote, and everything was created by him, Jesus. And he wrote, and for him. Very important to understand. Jesus made all things were created through him and for him, including you and me. We were made for God. In this morning's passage, verses 6 through 13, John wants to turn our attention to the fact that there was a man sent from God whose name was John the Baptist. And this man came to bear a witness of Christ, to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. I'll go ahead and read our passage, verses 6 through 13, and then we'll take a look at it. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. The Apostle John switches from the deity of Jesus Christ in verses 1 through 5 last week to a man by the name of John the Baptist in these verses. Let's go through the Word of God. Let's take a look at verses 6 through 8. The light is revealed. There was a man sent from God whose name was John the Baptist. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. The prophet John the Baptist was divinely sent from God, as the scriptures say, to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was sent from God to bear witness of Jesus Christ, to tell the world about Jesus. John gets his name, John the Baptist, from his ministry of baptizing so many people in the Jordan River. Now remember, the Apostle John is stating the facts in his gospel, the evidence in his gospel, as an eyewitness. Very important to understand. He's writing this book as an eyewitness, as he's divinely instructed by the Holy Spirit. Right? So you and I can make a clear judgment. Listen. So you and I can make a clear judgment of who Jesus is. This is why he writes this. John wants you and I to know the facts about Jesus Christ He wants every one of his readers to know that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. And he wants us to know the facts. It's always wise to weigh out the facts before making a decision, correct? Right? Have you ever made a decision in your life and you wished you had known all the facts before you acted? Right? Have you ever done that? You wish that you had all the facts before you acted on something. I think we've all done this. I think we've all done this through our life, right? Oh, if I only knew the facts before I did this or whatever it was that you did or thought of. John is presenting the facts in his gospel, the evidence, to his readers about Jesus Christ. So listen, so that by believing in him, you may have eternal life in his name. This is why he writes this gospel. And the apostle John, he's going to bring forth many witnesses throughout this gospel. And here's his first witness right here, John the Baptist. John the Baptist's ministry is summed up in verse 7. It says, this man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, Jesus, that all through him might believe. That was John the Baptist's ministry right there that was given to him from God. John the Baptist came to bear witness of the light. He writes that all might believe in Christ, that they would believe in the light. This is why John the Baptist came. The apostle John, too many Johns in this passage, right? The apostle, just so you know, John, the apostle John, never refers to himself as John. He refers to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. So whenever you read through the gospel and you see John, he's talking about John the Baptist. Towards the end of this gospel, he does mention the name John. He talks about Peter's father. His name was Jonah, but he calls him John. But he never refers. So when you read through the gospel in John, he's talking about John the Baptist. He wrote that he was sent to bear witness of the light. He was sent to bear witness of Jesus Christ. This was his ministry. John the Baptist was a man who had the true evidence, the heavenly evidence, the facts from heaven regarding the light, Jesus Christ. Right? John the Baptist pointed everyone to Jesus as the Savior, as the Messiah. He pointed to Jesus. He's the Lamb of the God who takes away our sins. The Apostle John wants you and I to know that Jesus, listen carefully, John, the Apostle John, wants us to know that Jesus is exactly who the Scripture says he is. He wants us to know that. By believing in him, you may have eternal life in his name. Let's take a look at verses 9 through 11. The light is rejected. Verse 9. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. How tragic. His own did not receive him. John wrote, the true light, Jesus, which gives light to every man coming into the world. The true light, genuine, perfect, real, steadfast light. The light speaks to the glory of God shining in the face of Jesus Christ, full of grace, full of truth. Jesus is the light of the world, as the scriptures say. He is the source of life. The glory of God shines in Christ. Everyone who understands salvation, everyone who understands Jesus' role as Savior, understands this because they see Jesus for who he is. They see Jesus for who he is. And the scripture says, he enlightens everyone. Listen, who sees him for who he is. He enlightens everyone who sees him for who he is, as the Messiah, as the Savior of the world. Right? They have seen the light of Christ in their life. This is what it is. You have seen the light of life in your life. God working in your life. And we know, as the scriptures say, that we can only have eternal life in Christ, right? Through Jesus, right? Jesus said that. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus tells us that in the scripture. John records this in his gospel in chapter 14, that Jesus said this very thing, because he wants us to know that we cannot be saved apart from Christ. Period. Right? He wants us to know that Jesus is the Savior, he's our only hope, and that we would place all our faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone as our Savior. Jesus, the glorious light of the world, right? He said, I am the light of the world. He who comes to me, right, shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The only light that the world has is Christ. Is Christ. The light of salvation shines only through Jesus Christ. If you receive the light, the scriptures tell us, you will be saved. If you reject the light, you will be judged. The Apostle John wrote, Jesus was in the world. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He came to his own. What do you mean, his own? It means he came to his own place. He came to his own people, his own country, his own nation, his own town, and his own did not receive him. As creator, the world was made through him and belongs to him. But the world did not recognize him as Messiah. Why? Why didn't they recognize Jesus? Because they were spiritually blind. They were spiritually blind. Here's the invisible God made visible. And they did not recognize him because of their spiritual blindness. Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, came and walked among his creation, and many, or most, did not receive him, the scripture says. Although they had the Old Testament scriptures, the evidence that the Messiah was coming, they had this, they still did not receive him. Jesus even said to them back then, he said, for if you believed Moses, you would have believed me. Listen to what he writes, what he says. He says, for Moses wrote about me. But if you do not believe in his writings, how will you believe in my words, Jesus said, John 5, 46 and 47. Sadly, many people are still rejecting Jesus. The only one who's their only hope, they reject. The one, the only one who can save them, they reject. How tragic. How tragic, right? They're full of apathy. What does that mean? That means they're not concerned about their spiritual life. They're not concerned about life after death. And they reject the light. They reject Christ. It's tragic. We all have family members and friends like this. The Bible says there are only two things that we can do when Jesus' light shines upon us. We can either surrender to him or we can reject him. That's it. Two choices we can do as Jesus shines His light on us. Why would anyone reject the light? Why in the world would anyone reject the light? Why would anyone reject Christ? Why would anyone reject the free gift of salvation? It's free. Grace, we're saved by grace through faith in Christ. Grace is a gift. It's free. Right? Has someone ever given you a gift? Right? Here you go. You didn't earn it. It was given to you. It's grace. Someone giving you grace. We're saved by grace. It's free. Why would anyone reject this free gift? Well, I'm going to share two reasons with you from the Bible. If you brought your Bible with you this morning, I'm going to share two reasons with you why people reject Christ. I want you to turn to the book of John chapter 3. John chapter 3, I'll let you get there. John chapter 3, Gospel of John. Well, I hear more papers, more scriptures moving. It's like you guys are bringing your Bibles now. Getting more people to bring their Bibles to church. John chapter 3, I'm going to read verse 19 through 20. Listen to what our Lord Jesus Christ said. This is Jesus' words. Verse 19, Jesus said, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest their deeds should be exposed." Here's one reason right here. Jesus gives us one reason. Men love darkness rather than the light. Tragic. I'm going to share another one with you from the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Go to Philippians, chapter 1. The Apostle Paul, he's going to give us another reason why men don't surrender their life to Christ or people in general. Philippians, chapter 1. You go down to verse 18. Philippians chapter 1, verse 18, 19. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes. Listen, look how he starts out. He says, "For many walk." Right away. He wants us to know as we read this. He's talking about many. He says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping," he's crying over this, "that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." He's talking about unbelievers, those who reject Christ. Look at verse 19. "Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." Here's another reason right here. The Apostle Paul gives us another reason. Why would people reject Christ? He says, "For many walk." You know what he's telling us? They want to be their own God. He says, "whose God is their belly." That means they want to be their own God. They want to call the shots in their life. They want to be their own God. They don't want to have to answer to Christ. "I want to call the shots." He says, "whose God is their belly." And he even wrote in here a third reason. They love the world. They're not lovers of God. They're lovers of the world. They love the cares of the world, the riches of the world, the things of the world. Those things are more important to them than Christ. They're lovers of the world, lovers of money, not lovers of God. Here's just two examples in the scripture, because you've got to think as a Christian when you're sharing the gospel with people, why can't you see this? This free gift of salvation, and we get rejected more than accepted. But I want you to look at our last two verses in this passage, which is amazing. Glorious verses right here. Back to our passage in verse 12 and 13. even though Jesus was rejected by his own, in spite of the world rejecting him, look at this. Listen, it did not stop him from his plan of salvation, as we find out in verse 12 and 13. Look at this verse, these two verses right here. But as many as did receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Hallelujah! To those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of his. Listen to it. Look at verse 13. It's very important to understand this verse. Who were born, look, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man. He writes, but of God. But of God. Those who have believed and received found life in Christ. It says that God gave the right. Okay? Scripture said God gave the right. You know what that means? He gave the privilege to those who believe in him and have received him to become children of God. And that's the true nature of believers. That's the true nature of believers right here, because we have believed in Christ, right? We have received him with open arms. We have become children of God. We know the truth. We trust in the truth. And we put our destiny in the one whom we believe in. Amen? We put our trust in the one we believe in. Before we close, I want to go over verse 13 with you very carefully, because this is very important for you to understand as a believer in Christ. We're going to look into the very nature of God right here in verse 13. Look at this right here. Who were born, okay? To be a child of God, you must be born again, okay? Born of God, right? Spiritually born, right? This is the new birth, which John is going to talk about in chapter 3, the regeneration. Look at this. Look at the next three words. It says, who were born, now listen, not of blood, okay? Which means you and I did not become born again through our family or through our heritage, okay? You guys have heard me say this before. Just because grandpa and grandma were saved doesn't mean you are, right? The Bible clearly states in Philippians 2, Paul writes, he goes, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, right? Everybody's responsible for their own salvation. So you didn't get saved because grandpa saved. Okay? Look at what he writes after this. Nor of the will of the flesh. What's he talking about? It means that you and I did not become born again by our own efforts, by our own works, right? That'd be a works-based gospel. Nor of the will of man. Which means you and I didn't become born again by the works of someone else, right? It says, not by the will of man, not by some religious sacraments, not by some religious system. No, that's not how we became born again. Look what he writes. But of God. But of God. Only God can do this miracle in you and me. It's an act of God. It's God working in us, the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, right? The Bible says that becoming born again is the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, which is sanctification, right? Therefore, we are created again. It says, born of God. That means born again, right? Born from above, set apart, spiritually transformed by God, right? We've been given a new heart, a new spirit, the scripture tells us. Ezekiel 36, 26, right? Jeremiah 24, 7. It says that God has given us a new heart to know him, God, right? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That means born again, right? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, right? You guys have heard me say this before, right? If born once, die twice, right? Born twice, die once. You're only going to die physically. Right? And know this, he who has begun a good work in you we'll complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking directly to our hearts this morning as we go through this gospel. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.